Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world. Today's quote is read by Star Trek's omnipotent Q, actor John DeLancey.
I suspect that what has happened is that much of the Star Trek phenomenon comes from waiting until real flesh and blood heroes appear again. To follow and to emulate these fictional ones serve for some people as surrogate images.
We would like to welcome back our guest, Robert Picardo.
The thank
dulcet
you.
Toned Robert Picardo.
Well, thank you, Rachel. I appreciate that more than I can say.
Oh, that's so lovely. I'm going to throw it to Robert, but really quickly, when I look at this quote, and I know they're talking about real heroes, but what kind of strikes me now is we live in an age today of superhero movies, right? It's all tentpole superhero movies, and that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. I love all that. But what strikes me about Star Trek is the heroes were the flesh and blood, human people without any superpowers, right? Having to use their empathy, having to use their smarts. And that's not even what Mr. Roddenberry meant. It's just what's striking me today, because there's part of me that misses storytelling a little bit. Like, that's one of the things I love about Star Trek. It tells a story as well as gives you all the action and stuff. But Robert, why don't you tell us how you parse this particular quote?
Well, it resonates for me in a number of different ways. And frankly, some of them are because I performed on Star Trek. They're probably not what Gene meant when he said these lines, but what I found most extraordinary about becoming part of the Star Trek saga is that I was constantly put in the presence of the real people, the real explorers, the real astronauts, the people in science and technology and space exploration that were inspired by Star Trek and other science fiction to pursue their careers in that area, so that I, you know, the first, like, complete out-of-body experience Star Trek gave me was at the 30th anniversary of the premiere of the original series in 1998. We had a big event in Huntsville, Alabama, and I sat on stage with five men who had walked on the moon. And at first, I thought, what the heck am I doing here? This is silly. You know, these guys, these extraordinary heroes, and the courage they had to go in a tin can, you know, off the plane, get blasted into space, and then land on the moon and walk around and come back and sit on the stage next to this actor who, you know, is scared if he gets stuck in an elevator for 2 minutes. So I just, at first I thought, this doesn't seem right. And then I thought, okay, Bob, you're going to have to grow up a little bit. If this is the circumstance that being on Star Trek is going to present you with, you can either feel intimidated or shy or out of place, or you can completely throw your arms around it, embrace it, and go with it. And that's what I chose to do. It's one of the reasons I've done so much work for the nonprofit Planetary Society over these last 20 years, because I wanted to take my unique access to the science fiction audience and bring the message to them that if you love science fiction, you really love science and real exploration. You may not know that, but let me help you figure that out. And I try to get Star Trek fans, especially young ones, to be interested in what we're really doing in space right now by following the Planetary Society and other great sources of information in that area. And the Planetary Society is the world's leading advocacy group for space exploration. So if you want to influence your government, no matter what country you live in, if they are space capable, to and you want to tell them how important it is for you that they put more money into their space program and what goals you think that they should emphasize in their space program, you can do that by joining a group like the Planetary Society. All right, so that's out of the way. That's how the quote affects me, first and foremost. It's about, there are real life heroes. There are real life heroes right now, and Star Trek helps me recognize them. And yet, Gene seems to be saying that the fictional heroes that we played, actors and my colleagues played in the different Star Trek shows, are a substitute for real heroes until real heroes come along. I don't believe that as much as Star Trek helps us recognize who the real heroes are. And part of the reason I could recognize that is these heroes were humble enough to say, you know, I was inspired by watching Star Trek. I've met a younger generation of astronauts who grew up watching Star Trek, and it made them want to do what they do. And I think that's about the best compliment that Gene Roddenberry and certainly all of us who've worked in any of the Star Trek shows could be paid. And that is that our fictional space exploration has helped in some way to encourage real present-day space exploration.
And to follow up with what Rachel said earlier, when Star Trek came out, there were not, you know, these big tentpole superhero films. You know, Star Trek was one show, TV show on one of three networks, and that was, you know, there were other shows, but Star Trek even predates, like, the Wonder Woman series, and it was out the same year that Batman premiered. So I kind of get what you say if you think about the times. And even when this quote was read in 1976, predated the Superman movie, the Batman movies, obviously the Marvel films that we all have now. So I think in pop culture terms, we have like a huge bounty of superheroes to feast on. But when Gene made this quote in 1976, it really wasn't like the big overwhelming pop culture phenomenon that it is. So I think that's kind of like what he means to it. Until the real flesh and blood heroes
don't. Sorry, Trent, to interrupt, but don't forget, in the '70s, there was a huge spate of kind of like where we are now. Bob, am I wrong that there was Towering Inferno and 77 was Star Wars, and so the big tentpole thing was actually happening in its own way in the '70s, but it was disaster movies, as I remember, Airport, things like that. But you're right, like Star Trek was the first thing that many people had seen that was real flesh and blood people, not aliens as the leads in some weird sci-fi thing, but it was us, and we could see ourselves into the work that Robert is doing with the society. That sounds amazing. As long as we, and you're an artist, so I know we don't forget the A in STEAM. You know, STEM was being pushed for so long, which was just science and math, and we left out the arts. And so now they're pushing STEAM as the curriculum for kids, adding back in the arts. Because I think you would agree, when Robert was telling the story in the beginning about being up on stage with all those people, it kind of endeared you to me, Robert, because most actors are like, well, I'm just as important, if not more, than the astronaut who walked on the moon, clearly, Rachel. So the fact that you were humble enough to go, I'm an actor, right? I'm playing at this, and I'm sitting with these people who are actually doing it. Like, that's a mind-bending moment, actually, isn't it, in an artist's life?
It certainly is, and unforgettable. One more distinction I'd like to draw. You said, Rachel, that that back in when this quote was made, that there were not a lot of big superhero movies the way we're flooded with them now, with all the Marvel and DC, you know, characters that are, that get movies built around them. But I like to think that Star Trek are ordinary people that are empowered by science. In other words, science is the superhero in Star Trek. Science and technology, and what to me is great about Gene's original vision of the original series vision is that science and technology can extend the human presence across the cosmos. Science empowers, it enables, and has the capacity to even ennoble humanity without destroying it. There's so much science fiction now that is post-apocalyptic science fiction where, you know, the world has already been destroyed and these, you know, sort of dirty stragglers are trying to carry on. Well, that's, you know, that it, some of them are very cool, but that doesn't appeal to me that much. I like Star Trek's vision of, you know, we can all survive and we can make discoveries and we can all work together and thrive 400 years in the future, especially at a time when it looks like we're going to destroy ourselves, you know, by the end of the week, which is the way the present world
sounds. But do you guys think that I've started to notice in the news, to be honest, especially in the last bunch of years, that it's not the friendly alien anymore, right? I'm not talking about Star Trek series, but I'm saying in the actual news, we're getting closer and closer to actually acknowledging, like, yeah, we're not the only, we can't, I can't possibly be the highest form of life there is. I just can't. So we're getting closer to accepting their other life forms. But I'm a little worried because what I'm seeing is a negative slant about other life. And I'm thinking about a Trump quote from last year where he said, we need dominion of the galaxy in outer space. I forget the exact words he used, but it hurt me. It hurt me in a Magna Carta kind of way. You know, I was like, this is not going to bode well if we're thinking dominion already when we're not even dominioning here. At least in my opinion.
That's the Cold War, the early Cold War panic of, you know, the invader from outside. Because we were engaged in that, you know, in our struggle for dominance on here on the planet with the Soviet Union, it made all the idea of aliens coming, that they were a threat, they were going to destroy us. All of those, you know, the great Twilight Zone episodes. Wait a minute, that book, To Serve Man, it's a cookbook.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite lines of all
time.
That
is a great.
I love that line. Can you imagine reading the script and go, oh, I get to say that?
It's so true. Trent, do you have any thoughts around this quote before we wrap up?
Yes, absolutely. So the two words that stand out to me about the surrogate images, about the Star Trek characters who stand in as surrogate images for real heroes. Yes, that's kind of true when you're thinking about like the Datas and the alien creatures. But let's not forget that the characters on Star Trek are engineers, they're mathematicians, they're doctors, and those are real flesh and blood heroes that we can see, you know, in ourselves, in this pandemic that we are still struggling with, first responders, the nurses, the doctors who really stepped up. Like, it's not so much to think about them as not as superheroes anymore, because they are. And a show that is set in the future and it's, you know, so technologically advanced and all this technology and they're transporting and there's lasers and all of that. But the characters are, you know, scientists, doctors. I think that's something that's really cool about what I love.
So Trent is completely agreeing with me. He just agreed with me. He agreed that science is the superhero.
Wait, but, says the lady in the room. I love that they had Deanna Troi because an empath. Like, seriously, I think being able to have empathy for a fellow man is a superpower these days, right? And I mean true empathy. I don't mean, oh, I feel bad for that over there. No, I mean actual empathy. There, by the grace of whatever Allah, Buddha, Yahweh, God you pray to, could be any of us, right? In any circumstance, and having empathy for what other people are going through, I think. And so I was super appreciative they had that character in there. Because
I mean, and I have to say, like, my appreciation for mental health started from watching Deanna Troi's character in Star Trek The Next Generation. Like, that's the first time it occurred to me that, you know, mental health is just as important as medical health. And it made me more amenable to seeking therapy when I felt that I needed it. And
emotional intelligence is just as important as, I think, all the other ones, especially when the aliens come and we've got to, you know, have some empathy for ourselves and the big changes going on here, but also for them. Anyway, we could talk about this forever, but we got to wrap it up. If you all would like to see the video of today's quote, you can go to Roddenberry's social media pages. Tell them, Trent, where to go.
Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And would love to thank once again Robert Picardo for being our guest today. So you'll have to tune in tomorrow to check us out on Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Goodbye.
EMH out.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.